All right, let's see here. Let me just let Nick into the Zoom. Hey, Nick.
Hey, buddy.
Just waiting on Heather. Oh yeah,
Heather. Yeah, there she is.
Hello. Great. Sorry, I was late. I had some things to take care of in my house. How are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Thanks, Heather. Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you, Heather.
I am looking forward to talking about today's game. It was one of my favorites of all time. Ha 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 ha!
Wow, you're yeah, kind of in a,
that is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, you're in a punchy mood. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I should come clean. You probably noticed something is different about me today.
Okay. What? Oh, whoops. Hold on. I'm sorry, Heather. That is a very cool jacket. Very, very cool.
Yeah, that jacket. You're right. We should have noticed the jacket. That jacket.
It is not that jacket. It is
cool as hell.
It is something else. I'm sure you.
You completed the Gundam back there. Look at that thing. Wow, standing strong. You love to see it.
And you got a cool jacket for the Gundam.
The girl who built that Gundam is dead, and this is her jacket that I am wearing, but I... You seriously cannot tell the difference between me and your friend, Heather, and Campbell.
Heather, I gotta say, I'm sorry to chime in here, but... You just seem extra normal today.
Okay. Is the joke on me? Is that what is happening? Is that you know what is happening, and the joke is that you are pretending to not know what is happening?
What? I'm confused.
Heather is dead. I am a robot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Oh, hold on. Okay.
Classic Heather.
Yeah, this is so you. Here, how about this? Ha ha ha, very, okay, ha, ha. Good, yeah, very good.
Do you really think this little of your friend? I was designed to keep toilets clean. I am installed in Samsung toilets to keep them clean. That is the, do you, honestly.
Yeah, no, that is the type of robot Heather would say she was if this
right,
was Heather.
Yeah,
but
it's good specific.
Yeah, good job. Yeah,
well, I guess we should just do the show. Since if you guys cannot tell the difference between an AI and Heather, then maybe neither will the audience.
Great, I'm into it. Hold on real quick. I'm being lowered into an incinerator. Let me just, this is... I'm good to go, though. We befriend cubes and anticipate cake in classic mind-bending puzzle action game Portal. This week on How Did This Get Played? It's How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest and what is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets? But enough talk. Have at you. Video games of all time. The third W, courtesy of @TreyCoolX. Submit yours @GetPlayedPod, #WWW. I'm Nick Weiger, along with Heather Ann Campbell.
I'm Heather Ann Campbell, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back, Bucket.
Edge. That little clip that got sent in, that little third W there, a little bit of VO that we previously did on VO Theater here from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, an all-time classic, and we're covering another all-time classic today, which we'll get to in a bit.
Do you know that somebody is currently converting Castlevania Symphony of the Night to the Genesis?
How about that?
Pixel by pixel, rebuilding
going back
it.
A generation. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Rebuilding it so that it can be played on a Genesis. And you know what? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I played
project.
It on PlayStation 1. I think it's up there with Vagrant Story as like my favorite PlayStation 1 game, although I always heard that the Saturn version was superior.
I think the fidelity on the audio is superior on the Saturn version. I know that both versions, they took out them titties. Right, guys? They took out them.
Yeah. I got to play this thing.
No, they took them out, Matt. Then you don't need to play it.
I thought you meant took them out. He was thinking it took them
out.
Yeah,
I thought like they took them out. Like they
removed,
dumped them out.
Removed the titties.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Uh-huh.
And replaced them with like bikinis.
The point still stands. I got to play this. I've never played it before.
You could have like a bumper sticker that's take out the titties, and it could be either pro nudity or pro censorship.
Available in the Podswag store soon.
We have much to discuss on this week's game, but before we step through a sort of rift in space-time and into a sterile purgatory, it is first time to briefly touch on a game we're currently enjoying by spending 70 seconds in gaming heaven. Matt, say when.
Go for it, Heather.
Well, I'm still playing Ghost of Tsushima, and as I've noted on other episodes of the show, it's too easy for me. So I've created a game inside of the game. Emergent gameplay, which is that I will run into a town and run past every single guard in the town to sort of round them up in like a giant, like I have video of it that I was going to send you guys, but getting video off the PlayStation is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I've got I get like a one man Normandy as everybody's rushing at me, and I'm like, every button is parry, and they're all like bing 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 bing, and then you know, one hit somebody because of a perfect parry or what. It is a fun way to make a game a little bit more challenging. I really enjoy it. What I know you guys love, or Nick, you loved this game.
I had a great
and
time.
I am going to play it until it is finished.
But time's up.
Great.
I just want to clarify, because you were talking on a recent episode, maybe last week's episode, they're scrambled in my brain, about that you're playing this game on hard and it's still too easy. Have you upped the difficulty, or are you doing all this on hard?
I'm still doing this on hard.
Got it.
Because the description, but the truth, I should just do it right now. I should just turn it up to lethal. I think the description of lethal is that one hit kills you. And
right.
That doesn't feel like, as it is, I think two hits kill me,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, that allows for a single mistake in a wave of enemies. But
maybe
I should just up it. Maybe it'll make it more like Dark Souls and thus more enjoyable. I just don't want to go around sneaking and killing people. I don't know what, as I've said before, on this very podcast, I don't know what the solution is.
I think you just need to, like, be worse at games.
Yeah.
I think that would help
you. Don't
get good,
get bad.
Yeah.
Well, I suck at puzzle games, and maybe we'll talk about that today.
Oh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, who knows?
Who knows?
Is any aspect of it hooking you beyond the game within a game that you've established of trying to make the combat as punishing as possible? You like following the foxes around?
No,
I like following those foxes.
It's exhausting, and
I like
usually
to find out what the fox says.
Oh, God. But,
I'd say look no further than the Green Knight. That fox talks.
So does the fox in Antichrist.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should watch that right after the podcast, Alpadaka. I'm sure it's your speed, man.
I can tell by the way you're saying it that it'll scare the shit out of me.
That's not... So here's a huge spoiler.
Spoilers for Antichrist.
For Antichrist, a movie that came out, I think, a decade ago.
Yeah.
That movie ends, I believe, with a fox saying to in a movie where no animals talk. Mm-hmm. This is not a talking animal movie. A fox says straight to camera, chaos reigns, and then credits happen, and you're like, okay.
That scared me. You saying it.
It sounds like that would be in like a Shadow the Hedgehog cutscene.
Yeah, the bad ending where he doesn't.
Do you, how about, because I don't know, a big part of the, of what I liked about that game is this kind of a, it's so aesthetically pleasing. Like, do you get any joy out of like, you know, just sitting at a vista and composing a haiku, or just like how the way the wind guides you to a waypoint, I think is just so elegant and so pleasing and so soothing.
I do think that the wind guiding you to waypoints is excellent. I think that's great design, and I think it could even be a little bit more subtle. You know, like you could watch the leaves and like really engage you, as opposed to sort of like white wind arrows.
Uh-huh.
I don't care for the haikus because in a way they make all poetry trash.
Right.
Like there's, because it's just like, yeah, these poems, these short poems that people spend a huge amount of time working on. What if we just gave you the opportunity to basically Mad Libs a couple of them? Like, it's not, that doesn't make me feel good. I'm a writer. It makes me feel bad. Right.
I just
wish I don't like how much time there is between combat. I don't like how little combat there is. I want to be surrounded in a war. I want to be the samurai Rambo.
Right.
So I guess the game I'm looking for is a more, oh, what's the one, Dynasty Warriors? I want Dynasty Warriors, but in a very, very, very realistic setting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, those two, that doesn't seem to add, like, those two things seem to contradict each other.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but if somebody wants to give me, kind of,
yeah,
give me $30 million and I will develop nothing. I'll take the money and I'll leave.
You can buy Heather Ann Campbell's Silence for $30 million.
Honestly, you can.
Mine too.
Yeah, honestly, me too. And I'll bid you down from there. Like, yeah. Starting point, but yeah.
How are you guys?
I'm doing great. I'm still playing.
Why did that make you laugh?
I don't know. Us asking you about Ghost of Tsushima wasn't like a wellness check, like, you know, like. But I like it. It's a nice question to ask. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm Matt. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing swell. I'm having a great day.
I feel like we're breaking format by talking about what we're currently playing, but I'm still playing Yakuza 0. I'm still absorbed in it. I'm putting too much time into it at this point. I just need to get it done with.
Yeah, I'm sort of doing this very careful balancing act of Kingdom Hearts, Dream Drop Distance, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and Dragon Quest XI. I've gotten very back into very much into Dragon Quest XI again, and it's looking like I'm going to finish it. I'm getting pretty close to the end, I think.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, having a lot of fun with that.
Quite a journey. And we'll see how close you are to the end without spoilers. We'll see if you really are approaching the end, Matt.
What?
Not spoiling anything, but
what?
That ending that you think is so close, I wonder how close it actually is.
What?
Again, not spoiling anything.
What is he doing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
are you trying to make a reference to the game we played this week?
No, there's just the end game of Dragon Quest XI may not be quite what you think.
You know what? Just because of this, as soon as I think I'm done, I'm fucking done with it. I'll never investigate this claim.
You're like 4 hours in.
No, I've sunk like a little over 20 hours into it. I'll say I think I'm on the part of the game where there's a giant squid attacking my boat. That's not like, I think, that close to the end, but it's closer to the end than it is closer to the beginning of the game, I think.
Yeah, you got some ways to go, but that's it. But you're a good chunk into it. Great game, a lot of fun. And spoilers. Hey, speaking of great games, this week's game is Portal.
Portal is a 2007 puzzle platform game, which was developed by Valve. You may know Valve as the creators of Half-Life and Half-Life 2. It was released for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, as well as Windows, in a bundle called the Orange Box, and has been ported to a bunch of other places as well. Games in 2007 included BioShock, Halo 3, Super Mario Galaxy, Crysis, and Team Fortress 2, as well as the original Assassin's Creed.
Wow.
In Portal, yeah, I mean, wow.
Big year.
2007, big year in games.
Huge.
Big year in games. In Portal, you play as the character Shell, who is challenged by an AI to undergo a series of puzzles using a gun that can create a portal in space. Not time, just space. All of the physics that a human being would normally have apply to your momentum in these portals. So the game's puzzles are not just ones where you are conceiving of solutions via space, but also by energy. Mm-hmm. The game is funny, and it's a classic, and it spawned a million memes, which have gone from being tired to being nostalgic now, including a reference to the end of the game, where for a while everybody was wearing T-shirts from Hot Topic that said the cake is a lie.
Right.
This based on a promise that the AI makes to the player character during the puzzle-solving sequence of the game. I guess that's the whole game. The initial puzzle-solving sequence of the game, where you're told that when you complete, you will have cake.
There's a really grating "the cake is a lie" comic, like web comic, that was made once that I said that itself became a meme, where it was just like someone was like, "Huh, I wonder how I find." I forget which web comic it was, and I forget what the exact structure of it was, but it was something like someone's at a birthday party and they're like, "Huh, I wonder if there's any cool geeks and gamers at this party." And then and then someone says, yeah, it starts off good and it gets better. I just tried to Google and find it. I couldn't find it. But it's like it sets that up. And then someone's like, ask if there's any cake. Like, is there any cake? And then someone's like, the cake is a lie. And then they have their group of friends because they all know the meme.
Yeah.
And that webcomic in itself became a meme. I think because people were exhausted by the meme at that point, and so they took out their frustrations on this webcomic.
It feels like, and I say this knowing that I write for the show, it feels akin to screaming, "I'm Pickle Rick."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to apologize real quick because I've been saying "I'm Pickle Nick" a lot to you specifically, Heather.
Yeah. And if I could also just kind of hop upon the apology train here, I have also been saying "I'm Pickle Nick." And it confuses more people than anything, really. So,
right. Yeah, because they know, like, if you'd said "I'm Pickle Rick," they're like, "Well, yeah, like at the show, I'm Pickle Nick." It's like, wait, that's not your name.
I was like, I know, but it's like, it's my friend. It's like, it's this whole thing. You kind of have to know the group.
So now that you guys are done talking, I'll expand, which is to say that the idea that you would reference something that just proves that you know what it is as some sort of like code or like a way of a battle cry to fellow nerds that just says, "Hey, I know this thing. Do you guys know this thing?" Is not a way to live. But on the other hand, who am I to tell people how to live? Do whatever the fuck you want. Eat mayonnaise.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, just eat it.
I've been doing that already.
So have I.
But thanks for the green light.
Not on its own.
Should try.
Sidebar. I think I filled a mayonnaise jar with vanilla pudding once and did like a sketch where I was eating it out of the.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'd seen that bit done a bunch. I don't cut this part. Cut what I just said. Cut it.
I wrote a bit once. And it was me eating, like, it was like a, it was like someone had invented a new condiment. We shot this for the Comedy Bang Bang TV show. And the new condiment was like, it became more popular than mustard and mayonnaise and ketchup. It was like the new condiment. And so, like, someone was on to bring to display the new condiment. And I was like brought on as like the PA to eat this thing. And so it was a cold veggie dog. And then the new condiment was gray. So it was a combination of black frosting and mayonnaise. And so I'm just eating this room temp hot dog covered with like super sweet mayonnaise. And then I did the whole thing. And then I think it got cut.
Oh, so, no.
Can I tell a bit? Can we talk about comedy for a sec?
Yeah,
sure.
When I was working on The Midnight Show, which is my my sketch gang that I was with for 10 years, we did a live show, and there was a guy on the show who I loved to prank, not prank, but also prank inside of sketches. Mm-hmm. And I would write shit for him to do that he hated, but it was joyful to watch. Mm-hmm. His name is Stephen Hale. And one time I wrote a sketch for Stephen Hale called Milk-Filled Hot Dogs. And I... it was a commercial. Ugh. And it was like, are you tired of having to reach for your glass of milk in the middle of eating a hot dog? And it was just Stephen on stage going, you bet. And it's like, well, now you can eat a milk-filled hot dog. And I had, how did I do it? There was some edible pastry bag that you could fill with a liquid, but when you ate it, it would burst. Mm-hmm. And so I would cut a hot dog, put the milk bag inside the hot dog, and then seal it up with food glue so that it was a hot dog that on the outside looked like a hot dog. And if you bit into it, it would just shoot milk all over your face.
Jesus Christ.
We didn't, you know, you don't practice a bit like that. You do it live on stage because you don't want to like assemble the thing. And it upset him so much when it happened on stage. And he started retching so hard that he just said his wife's name. He just called for his wife.
Well, back to Portal. I want to talk about box art real quick. Because, so the orange box was pretty much like the most amazing value that was ever commercially released. Like, it's just like the content you got for the price of a game in the orange box. You got Half-Life 2. The Half-Life 2 episodes 1 and 2, you got Team Fortress 2, you got Portal, you got it all in one package. But the box art for the orange box, I always found aggressively ugly. I'll bring it up for you guys here. I'm sure you remember.
It was just a combination of like multiple assets, wasn't it?
Yes, it's all the assets just kind of jammed together. You got Gordon Freeman from Half-Life, you got the Portal logo, and then you got a Team Fortress 2 heavy. And then you've got kind of like this just, you know, orange dissolve that's over the bottom third of it. Contrasting that with the Portal box art on its own, which I find is so like cool and it's one of my favorite box arts. It's just like we've got like this, you know, stick man descending into a portal. And it's just so clean and like evokes the sterility and the, you know, sort of the you know, depraved corporate side of this of this world in which you're living. I don't know. It's such an awesome box art that exists within such an ugly box art, but it's also an awesome package.
And a thing to note on this particular one, it also says also available in the orange box to be like, hey, if you don't have to buy this one, you could buy the other one that has three other games in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or two other games.
But I do remember, but that was, the orange box was a huge like thing because I think that was also Valve's first console release, if memory serves. That was the first time they took any of their franchises and made them available on consoles. And that was a huge, in terms of expanding, the awareness of these brands and then just having more people getting to play them. Valve ultimately, like, you know, is probably best known for just for Steam these days, for the PC distribution platform. But it's their software in that stretch was, their games were so fucking good. And when they crank out one on occasion, you know, it's still like certainly revered. This game was so you talked about the humor of it, Heather, and you know, a lot of that is credited to Kim Swift, who is the design lead, and then also Eric Wolpaw and Chet Falasek, who are from the site Old Man Murray, which was an old like gaming comedy site from way. I remember looking at it in like the late 90s and just thinking like, oh, this is so. At the time, it was just like, oh, like you find your little niche of the internet when this stuff was harder to find. I just being like, this is like impossibly funny. I can't believe how funny this is. And like, I don't see anyone else like making jokes about games that are this sharp and that are also like this tone. But they end up being recruited to hired for Valve, and they had a lot to do with the dialogue in this game, which is so funny. And I think hold up.
I think Portal might be the only well-written game of all time.
Wow.
Come on.
Like, there... no. Think... Okay, hold on, though. What... So, other games that are very well-written, which exist, often rely on things that we've already seen. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, like, mean-spirited AI program isn't a thing that we haven't seen, right?
Uh-huh.
And certainly the stark aesthetic of the game is something that we've seen in like THX 1138, etc. But the storytelling in this game, the way that the environment gives you the story while also the dialogue gives you the story simultaneously, I feel like it's one of the few times that they've pulled it off. That video games have pulled it off.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I disagree. I honestly think even Half-Life 2, which predated this, was like the similar sort of thing. You know, you never really lose control, and so much of the what you're getting from the story is from the environment and from, you know, just emergent interactions you're having. So
okay. Wait. What?
Yeah.
I mean comedy. It's the only comedy game that, that has actually been done.
If you're going to apply that. Yeah, I don't know. I think there are a lot of funny games. I also think a lot of times what's funny in a game is like, you know, just getting murked in like Dark Souls, you know, like just like a funny way to die or something like that. Like a lot of the stuff that's funny is just like funny stuff that happens accidentally or just incidentally as you're playing through something. But I don't know. I think there have been some games with funny dialogue, but I think I if you want to call this game like the funniest game that's ever been made, like I'm not going to argue with you. I think there's absolutely a case for it. It's really funny, and the dialogue's really sharp. And a big part of that is the GLaDOS character, voiced by Ellen McClain, who is the kind of
John McClane's wife from Die Hard.
John McClane's wife, yeah, married to a fictional character. So it's like it's very much like you talked about it being like this villainous AI, and it is like kind of like a HAL, but like a funny HAL. Do we have a couple clips of GLaDOS?
I do, yes.
Hello, and again, welcome to the Aperture Science Computer Aided Enrichment Center. We hope your brief detention in the relaxation vault has been a pleasant one. Your specimen has been processed, and we are now ready to begin the test proper. Before we start, however, keep in mind that although fun and learning are the primary goals of all Enrichment Center activities, serious injuries may occur. For your own safety and the safety of others, please refrain from...
Por favor, por donde falla, muchas gracias, te falla, gracias.
Turn back.
I mean, I don't know. I just, first off, just as a way to intro you to the game, you know, you start in this cell. Specimen seems to be a reference to your own shit because there's a toilet there. And you've got like the, you know, the... at all talking about this as relaxing. It just sort of tonally sets up what your relationship is going to be like with this character, but also is just like the first time I played this, immediately I loved it. I was like, this is so, the aesthetic works for me visually, and then this VO is just like, I'm excited to listen to this for the whole game.
It is, it like I I had not played this when it was new. So this is actually my first run with, I think, with Portal in general. I had Portal 1 and 2 on Steam, but I didn't have a computer that could, like, I got them for free or something, and then, like, my computer couldn't run it, so I just, like, I think I maybe messed around with Portal 2 at some point, but never really got into it at all, so this was, like, my first go-around, and right away, I was hooked. I was like, oh, everyone was right. The cake is a lie. They were right. I understand the t-shirt.
Yeah, I played this game when it came out, but I played it enough after, like, it had kind of been hyped that I'd kind of heard some of what was, like, I'd heard some of the, I don't know, did you say memes in 2007? Were people saying memes then? I guess so.
Yeah. Kojima was saying it in 2001.
Well, yeah, but Kojima, I mean, he was ahead of the curve by, like, 10 years. I had the same sort of thing of just like kind of knowing what I was getting into. And then once I'm getting into it, I was like, oh, I love this. Give me all that you got. Portal 2, I never played, and I don't understand why, because Portal is, like, I counted among my favorite games, and everyone said Portal 2 is an improvement over the original. And I was looking at my Steam library, and I saw that I'd played Portal, and then last time I'd played it was 2012. I was like, oh, yeah, I replayed Portal around when Portal 2 was coming out, thinking, like, oh, I'll replay Portal, and then I'll play Portal 2, and then I never fucking played it, because I just wasted a fucking decade of my life not doing shit I enjoy.
I didn't think Portal 2 was as good as Portal 1.
Wow, interesting.
I thought Portal 1 was sort of like an incredible, singular, perfect achievement.
Yeah.
And Portal 2... I think they added, like, fluid and, like, more robots. It just felt like more, as opposed to, like, this hyper-focused, extraordinarily delivered story and game that all just suddenly arrived as Portal.
Right.
You know? Like, that year, it felt like everybody was like, have you played Portal? Even though all these other great games had come out, like BioShock. You know,
right.
Like, I felt like more of the people that I was friends with were talking about Portal than BioShock. And when they talked about BioShock, they were talking about the ludonarrative dissonance of the game itself and, like, the friction between the player and the game and the narrative. But everybody who talked about Portal was just like, this is a clean, perfect toaster oven of a game. It does the exact thing that it sets out to do. Each rule that you're introduced to is like punchlined in the second half of the game.
Actually, yes.
You know, and also when we were prepping for this episode, I watched a playthrough of the game. And each story turn it's a perfect 3X structure. Each story turn takes place. If you're playing at a regular pace and you know the solutions to the puzzles, I wasn't watching a speed run by any stretch. It was like very leisurely played. Each section is exactly at 20 minutes. Your first turn happens at 20 minutes in, where it's like, we are now introducing live fire. This is supposed to be for Andrew. So that's your first turn. The next turn is at exactly at 40 minutes, where you're being sent to the death chamber and you have to get out. So it's like a perfect 3-act structure. Here you are testing. Here it's clear that this is not a positive experience. And here's where you're beyond the boundaries of the testing itself. Right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely well written.
It's really well written. It's really well designed, and it's really well structured. By the way, you mentioned speedruns. I had to look it up. The current speedrun record for Portal, 6 minutes, 16 seconds. So you can really blaze through this thing if you know what you're doing. I think a normal playthrough, though, is still very manageable. It's like 4 hours. And I will say, I sat down to replay this game last night, and I was like, I'll get a couple hours in. We're recording the afternoon today. So I was like, I'll play, and I'll finish it off in the morning. And I stayed up past my bedtime, didn't get out of my seat, played through the entire game in one go. I was just like, oh, yeah, I fucking love this. I don't want to stop playing it. I want to get through all the beats of the narrative, and I want to get through all these different puzzle rooms. The history, you talked about this game kind of appearing and the history, the development history of this game, and I'm sure you have this, Heather, is like it began as an indie student game from, you know, some students at DigiPen. They made this game Nerbacular Drop. And if you ever look at some some images or video, I guess you can also play it, of Nerbacular Drop. It's like a very different aesthetic. It's like a fantasy, you know, looking thing. And then Valve basically was like, this is awesome, hired Kim Swift and the rest of the team, and was like, then just converted, put it in the Half-Life universe and converted it into Portal. And I think that tonal marriage of like this kind of offbeat humor and then this just absolutely incredible mechanic is what makes this game really fucking sing. I mean, it's such a superficial observation, but it's just like, if this was just like that kind of you know, fantasy sort of feeling, it wouldn't have the pace of the same punch. The mechanic would be incredible, but it'd feel more like a tech demo than this, which is like this wholly conceived work of art.
Speaking to that for a second, the mechanic of the game, to me, having never really messed around with it, is astonishing to me. It's like, because you know, I have very limited knowledge of what it takes to like program a video game, but mm-hmm. to put a portal anywhere and then to have the other thing on the other side of it, that where the portal is, just also be there, is why is truly every time I did it, I was blown away by it. I couldn't believe how you had to solve some of these puzzles with it, and that it just that it worked at all to me was amazing. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
It's dazzling, and very early on, you're presented with kind of like the, you get to see, you know, there's a blue portal and an orange portal, and they lead to each other, and you get to see your player character, the game's in first person, but you get to see your player character looking at yourself through the portals. And that's a thing that recurs a few times throughout the game, which is just like a nice little mind bending thing, especially for the time.
She's wearing really cool shoes that that have springs sort of built into them so that you can drop from great heights without injuring yourself. And I like, you didn't need to put that in, but it sure does make it feel more real that she's wearing those fancy like exoskeleton shoes.
There's something fun about the physics of the game too, because you can use the portals, right, to like propel yourself further for certain jumps.
Right.
Like if you have a big fall into a portal, you get like a big blast jump. But there was a part where, this was just like a complete accident, not something that like the game made me do. I had just happened to toss two portals like right next to each other, and one of the cameras came off the wall and fell in, and then fell up through the other one, and kind of just kept doing that. And so it was this balancing act of them just going back and forth into each other. And I thought it was really funny. I loved looking at it. It was like, this wasn't supposed to happen, but it can, because that's how it works.
It's rad. I mean, the physics of it are so cool. And you know, this is again pretty early on when kind of having this kind of physics, as use the Havoc physics engine, was still something of a novelty, still a little bit of a novelty, mm-hmm. and it works really well in this. You mentioned like falling from a great height, and this is one thing that I'm replaying it. I'm like, oh yeah, so much of this game is like platforming, mm-hmm. which for a first person game can sometimes be a little frustrating. But thankfully, this game never really has anything that's all that challenging platforming wise. I don't know. What did you guys think of all like the kind of the more platformy sections?
I had trouble sometimes only because mm-hmm. I hadn't lined up. You know, you kind of live or die by how the portals are lined up, right?
Right.
So, like, if you have it, like, even, like, a centimeter off, it can kind of just fuck the whole thing, like, a little bit. Like, you have to keep trying and doing it again. It wouldn't take long to get it exactly where it needed to be or whatever. And, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly precise, but it was a little challenging in that way for me sometimes. But I thought it was good. Like, clever. A lot of it was, and, you know, this is probably just because it's a little bit of an older game now, but some of it was a little samey, you know,
sure.
to me, where, like, I did it one time, and I was like, wow, cool. And then a few minutes later, I was like, okay, well, I did exactly this in another room. I like the idea of having to set one portal somewhere and then knowing there's, like, a pit, right? And you have to toss
right.
a pit. This was a really fun one to me, where you have to toss a a portal down this pit, jump into the pit. That's not enough to propel you. You have to also then propel yourself again by throwing another portal so that you end up getting tossed even further than that. So that right. when you had to start using more than one portal to solve, that's when it became really, really interesting to me.
Yeah, and shooting portals midair. But well, Heather, I want to hear your thoughts on the platforming in the game.
Well, I mean, I guess I got to tell a story here. Okay. So when this game came out, I was dating a guy because I went through a phase in my life where after I came out to my parents, I was like, maybe I should date guys just to double, you know, like most girls.
Yeah.
I feel like most straight girls have a phase where it's like, oh, I kind of want to date a girl. And for me, it was the opposite. I was already dating sure. girls. Then I was like, I'm going to date some guys. So I was dating a guy. I went to his place Christmas when Portal came out, like that year. And he was like, have you played Portal? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, my God, it's so good. We have to play it. And then he played the entire game in front of me from start to finish, all in a single sitting. He was just like, here's the game. And he had already played it through more than once. So he knew all the solutions. Like there wasn't any like testing like he just was like, oh, you got to pull one here and there. And he just wanted. And I was like, can I play? And he's like, well, I'm going to get really frustrated if I have to watch you try and solve a puzzle that I already know the solution to. So why don't I just play it? My first ever time playing Portal was this time.
Wow.
Because after that, I was like, well, what's the point of playing Portal? I mean, I played the sequel.
Yeah,
all the way through. But like, what's the point of playing Portal if you already know all of the solutions to all of the puzzles? Unless you have that moment of discovery when you're headed towards the fire pit where you have to portal out of the fire pit. What is the point of like, there's no joy in the game.
Yeah.
It's a joyless experience and sort of just mechanical.
That guy's Christmas gift to you was a red flag.
I guess when you have two gamers we didn't date for much longer after that, not because of the Portal experience, somebody's always going to be playing the game that the other person wants to play. That's just how being a gamer is, unless it's a co-op experience or like Street Fighter. Like there's going to be one person playing the game. The best version of that for me was playing through The Last of Us Part Two with my girlfriend, Mary, where we handed off the controller back and forth and played successive chapters. Or basically I was like, anytime there was a ton of people on screen, she'd give me the controller because I like to mow through people. And anytime it was like exploring and like that sort of thing, that was her favorite part of the game. So for me, that's the long story to get to the feeling of jumping on the platforms felt old.
It felt like
2007.
Sure.
And I don't think you can see your own feet when you look down, if I'm not mistaken. You can see yourself through a portal, but you can't see your own feet. And I feel like that is a detail that now is sort of standard after Mirror's Edge to see your own body so you can make sure that your feet are planted on the thing. I don't know. It felt fine. I should have just said it's fine.
No, this is great. I agree with you that there's some points where
this is what a podcast is supposed to be, right? Like you talk about stuff. That's why people listen.
We got the milk hot dog, and then we had this, and now this is a podcast.
I agree with your observation that the jumping feels a little like it's a little stiff. It doesn't feel great. Like I'm playing on PC, so you know it wasn't ideal, but it's like not at all like any sort of real obstacle. It's just sort of like, oh, this is maybe feels a little clunkier than some contemporary games that have figured this out a little bit more. You talked about you can't see your feet, but what you can see in your field of vision the whole time is the portal gun itself once you acquire it. I just a very aesthetically pleasing weapon design. I just love how this looks. I love how, you know, like fucking, I don't know. I love how clean it is. I love that it's just like, yeah. it looks like this scientific instrument that it would be.
I mean, 2007 is pre-iPhone, right? Or maybe it's the fall of the original iPhone. Mm-hmm. So that Apple aesthetic is just starting to be written into our global consciousness. It feels very Apple. That device, yes, feels, sure, like the iPod, but a gun. And yeah, that's great. Yeah. It looks great. It kind, yeah, of also looks like a toilet.
It does a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit
sort
like
of
a toilet.
Like round and white, sort of, kind of giving me toilet vibe. I don't have a lot of like when I see stuff like that in video games, I don't, for some reason, like this stands out for sure, like as a design choice that it's appreciated. But like in other games where there's like future weapons or whatever, I'm never that interested, because to me, and this is such a weird aside maybe, but like nothing to me looks as good as the stuff in the movie District 9 does. Like everything in District 9 looks cooler to me than anything in any video game.
You could not have filled the end of that sentence with a less likely set of words than like District 9.
When I saw the movie District 9, I was like, wow, everything in this looks so interesting because it's like dirty and bad. Like even, sure, the weapons, I was like, these look like shit. I love it. It looks so cool. And like, and so now when I see like something, like even the guns in Cyberpunk, I was like, who cares? They're just shiny. I don't care. Ugh.
I do feel like some of those weapon designs feel, I felt a little generic. I don't know. I mean, like that's like an issue, I think, with just weapon design in general. So often it's trying to like look like cool, yeah, or it just is an actual weapon. They're, yes, just, you know, you actually have an AR-15 model. But this is like its own thing. And yeah, it stands out because it pops against this field of like generic military weaponry.
Speaking of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
The voice of GLaDOS, Ellen McClain, does pop up in Cyberpunk as the voice of one of Delamain's split personalities.
Wow.
She has been playing this voice, this character of the sort of like villainous AI since 2007 or earlier even. Like she's, mm-hmm, also the voice of the AI in, God, what was the name of that fucking movie? Pacific Rim. She's the voice of the robots,
yeah,
AI, and was in the commercial for it. And you're like, are they referencing Portal, or is this Portal? Like, does this exist, yeah, in the same universe? That's it. I just thought, you know, because you brought up Cyberpunk, I would be like,
no, that's
what
that's
people
great.
Listen,
those are great details.
Is nightmare stories from my life, and then also, yeah, where another actor has been before.
Yeah, are you going to talk, are you going to give us some fascinating bit of information, a bit of trivia about this game, or are you going to talk about grieving a pet's death? We'll find out. We never know. So the Aperture Science Research Facility, in which the entire game takes place, it's got this sort of sterile minimalist art direction, and that itself was a design choice because, mm-hmm, it like anything interesting they found in testing this game, people would just shoot portals at it. So like if there was like, you know, like, hey, here's a potted plant here, people were like, okay, well, this potted plant has got to be involved. Let me try to portal this potted plant. So eventually they just sort of stripped everything down to just, you know, you're in this kind of and like cool but intentionally kind of bland space.
Yeah, you're looking for that one surface texture, that gray surface texture where a portal can exist, and everything else is non-portaling environment.
Well, I tell, right? when you're in 100%. Those areas where there's less of those spots, I'm starting to get, I'm starting to sweat a little bit. I'm starting to be like, okay, how do they want me to figure this out? This is
right.
But when you, when your gun gets the functionality to shoot both, then I feel like I'm the, I'm king of the castle. I'm fucking ready to rock with this thing.
Well, you know what, Matt, you mentioned that, and that's a good point in that this game, I think, onboards you so effectively. Like, you start out, you don't have the portal gun. You're just learning how portals work by walking through them and seeing their function. And then you acquire the portal gun, and at first, it just shoots a blue portal. So the orange portals are fixed in place, and you have to figure out where am I going to shoot a blue portal to solve this puzzle, and then eventually get the functionality to shoot the orange portal with the where you can connect both ends on your own. When things really get kooky. Also, I'll just say, like, the feel of on a mouse and keyboard, the feel of left click blue portal, right click orange portal is just, it's so satisfying. I mean, it just works so well. I don't know. It's a minor thing, but it's just that key, that main thing in the game is just such a joy every time you get to use it.
Yeah, I was playing it on console. I was playing it on Xbox. And it's just the triggers, you know, the left trigger, right trigger. There's like a slight vibration with it that comes with it. And it was I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a fun and it looks cool. I don't know. Imagine it with the haptic feedback on the DualSense. Oh, baby.
Is it possible we've made it this far on the podcast and some people who maybe not played the game or are non-gamers who just listen to the show for whatever reason are still unclear on what the fuck we're talking about? Like, do we not fully clarify how the portals work?
So, okay.
It's portals. What? You figure it out.
No, listen, Goober, you got portals, all right? Dunzo. All right.
No. So, if you... Okay. If you're a human being who doesn't know what this game is, you put a blue portal one place and you put an orange portal one another place. And if you go through the orange portal, you arrive at the blue portal. If you go through the blue portal, you arrive at the orange portal. You choose where to place the portals. And that's it. That's the game. That's the whole thing.
That's enough to sustain this, you know, 4-hour journey. And you know, there are turrets were mentioned. Turrets come up at some point. There is like a little bit of a threat. There's also the cake is a lie is obviously became the big meme from here. And as well as the end credits song. But there's also the weighted companion cube, which is really only used for one puzzle, one extended puzzle. It feels like it's there for a longer stretch in the game. But that became a thing where just like everyone wanted a weighted companion cube plushie. You know, that was like the big that was one of the breakout characters, if you will, of this game. And it's literally just one of the other the same cubes that you get throughout the game, but it has hearts on it. And you have to carry it with you throughout this extended puzzle and then ultimately incinerate it.
And the punchline for that action is GLaDOS, the AI, saying something like,
"Congratulations, you incinerated your companion cube faster than any other test subject."
Right. And you're like, ha, that's a good joke. My other favorite jokes, she says, are there's a test chamber. I think the live fire test chamber, she introduces by saying that this area is specifically for androids, like military android testing, but it's you're going to have to go through it because that's what's happening. And at the end of that test chamber, her dialogue is for the androids who would have solved that puzzle. And it's something like,
"Just a reminder, Android hell is a real place and you'll be sent there at the first sign of defiance." And you're like,
what a great joke. What a great joke. My other favorite is long after you've tried to, you've started escaping the facility. And for those of you who've never played before and why fucking play it, it's very short. It's great. You, the player character, are on the path to be incinerated, and you escape by like firing a portal basically into the ductwork of this incineration chamber. And then you are behind the scenes of the test chambers themselves for the rest of the game. And at some point in that journey, she says,
"You're not a good person. Do you know that? Good people do not end up here."
And it's such a great, such a great joke.
It's that whole turn, you know, because the AI, as you start to defy the AI and she starts like first bargaining with you and then eventually turning on you is so great. And it's great writing. It's great performance. I do have a little clip of like when that first right after that incineration, that attempted incineration, what some of the VO that plays there. Let's hear a little bit more of GLaDOS.
We are pleased that you made it through the final challenge where we pretended we were going to murder you. We are very, very happy for your success. We are throwing a party in honor of your tremendous success. Place the device on the ground, then lie on your stomach with your arms at your sides. A party associate will arrive shortly to collect you for your party. Make no further attempt to leave the testing area. Assume the party escort submission position or you will miss the party.
Yeah, that's the party escort submission position, which is one of those lines that stuck with me. But yeah, it's really, and beyond the performance, I think the sound design is really good. The score is minimal and atmospheric. It doesn't come out much, but when it does play, I think it's like it's really good. I have a little bit of a chunk of the score here. Most of the game, you've just got ambiance, but you know, occasionally, an occasional section, just a little bit of score will creep in.
I already see Devin's wheels turning. He's going to snap on this one. We know it. We love to see it. Go off, King.
I don't know. We could also get from Devin an entirely new version of Still Alive.
That's true.
When you complete the game, the AI sings a song to you, which, like everything else in this game, became memetic. Everybody was fucking talking about this song, but in part because it's a good song. It's an excellent fucking song. It is a narrative reveal that the computer that you physically attacked in the final sequence is still alive. And it is a song about the both of you still being alive. Matt, do you have a section of that song?
Here we go.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat plan for the people who are still alive.
I feel like this song inspired a generation of games to end with quirky songs, including...
Right.
Didn't Turnip Boy end with a quirky song like this?
It does, and it slaps. It's very good.
I was reading the end. This song itself was inspired by God Hand, which has a song, kind of a recap song, playing over its credits.
Wait, God Hand, God Hand.
Yeah, God Hand.
God Hand.
What if it was
Heather's
other
Hole?
God Hand?
Yeah, God Hand from Heather's Hole.
What's the song that plays over the end of God Hand?
Well, now I gotta
play
it.
Now we gotta hear it. We gotta hear it. We gotta look it up and we gotta play it. I don't remember this song.
Eric, and one of the writers, Eric Wolpaw, his apparently one of his favorite games, or maybe his favorite game, is God Hand. And so the end credits song was kind of the genesis for this.
God Hand is such a good game. I'll recommend it again, even though we're outside of Heather's Hole. Like, it's a really. It's good. You should play it. And okay. I think Twitter said that you can play it. You can like get it on the PlayStation Store or something.
All right, here's the end credit song from God Hand. We'll hear a taste of this.
God or demon, what am I? It's time for me to choose my path. The power of my God Hand. No evil doer will get past. Hand to hand or fist to fist. Kick the nuts or twist your wrist. God power.
This is.
I mean, it fucking rules.
It rules, but like, this is. I can't. I mean, I understand how music inspires music.
This is somehow exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah, me too, which is also why I didn't remember it. I've remembered Still Alive for,
yeah,
what, 14 years. I did not fucking remember that song.
It's an HSC.
God damn, that's so funny that that inspired Still Alive.
Yeah, this heartbreaking, wow, bittersweet acoustic ballad. It's a, I don't know, I feel like we're just talking about things that we liked and just rattling off all the various like reasons we love this game. But I mean, I don't know what I don't know what is the tack to take here. It's just like, it's so streamlined. It's got a perfect hook, and aesthetically and tonally and story wise, it all just syncs up so well in such a perfect storm. That it's just an incredibly satisfying experience that holds up. Like, to me, I was just like playing, I was like, oh yeah, this is, I can tell this is an older game, but this is like, it's like playing Super Mario World. It's like, oh yeah, this is still fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one to send to space.
Send it to space.
Send it into space. If you're out there and you're an alien and you want to know more about human beings, you should play Portal. That's by the way, that's a reference to our DLC.
Oh, right.
Where we talked about games that we think should be sent into space based on a conversation that we had in a prior episode of How Did This Get Played? The podcast where we talk about the worst, weirdest, and wigerest video games of all time.
Yes, and it's also a tease because that episode, believe it or not, has not come out yet.
Wow.
We recorded that in 1996.
Yeah, I had to take a nap halfway through.
What game were we sending into space? Marbles. Well, we should get to our final thoughts on Portal. It's time for our review crew.
Review crew.
So if we can, I guess, isolate just one positive thing about this game that we've been raving about and give it a numerical decimal rating. I'll just say one thing I haven't touched on is the reticle. I think it's just like, you know, it starts off, there's nothing, you get the, or there's just a little crosshair, you get the gun, and then you get like a blue ellipse over it. And then when you get it, when you're able to shoot the orange portal, it gets divvied up into like, there's a blue ellipse and an orange ellipse, half, and kind of like a yin yang sort of position. And it's, just another aesthetic detail in the game that is just so pleasing. And also just restates what your aim of the game is, what the goal of the game is, what the central gameplay is. It's one of those ones, if this was released as is, as an indie game this year, even with the loading screens, and kind of the dated UI, this would still be one of the best games of this year. It would be one of the best games of 2021. I mean, it's so fucking good. It's so good, like my knees buckle. It's like watching like a great film. I'm just like, this is so fucking, it's like, there's a painting that was at the Getty. This is maybe hyperbolic, but it's like the blue boy, and I don't know if it's still there, but I just like remember looking at this painting.
The Huntington Library, actually.
It's in the Huntington Library, okay. And I remember just looking at this painting and being like, this is so, like, how does someone fucking do, this is so fucking good. This painting is fucking incredible.
Yeah, Blue Boy.
Like, that's the same sort of feeling I have, like experiencing this. This is just so fucking, I don't know. This gives me faith in humanity that something this great can be crafted. This is a 10 out of 10 easily for me. Heather Ann Campbell.
What did I like about Portal? I really like the sounds that the portals make, mm-hmm. which is like a plop. Like, it's like a plop, plop. Like, I don't know how to, it's hard to do vocally, but they have a sound that is not like other sounds. Mm-hmm. It's an original sound, and it sounds great. And maybe you can add a sample of that sound. And maybe you're doing it right now, or maybe I'm just referencing silence, which would also be funny.
We put it in like a bunch of times, like too many times.
So I love that sound. 10 out of 10. This game's perfect. There's nothing that you can add to it, which is why Portal 2 is not perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. It is on par with Vroom in the Night Sky in terms of like execution. 10 out of 10. Great game. Great writing. Great world. Great everything. Matt Apodaca, you're up.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I loved it. I'm going to also say that I absolutely loved it. The one thing that I will say that is a negative of it, and it's not its fault. It's just this type of game. I was playing earlier today, and I had to lie down afterward for a minute because I got so nauseous.
For sure, yeah.
Because first-person games already make me a little nauseous anyway, but nauseous then going through portals and like spinning out in portals and stuff was not prepared for it. Made me nauseous. That is not the game's fault. That is, I guess, my weak constitution. I have the guts of a toddler. It's not good. But hilarious game, super funny. I can see why it's beloved, even revisiting it, or, you know, I guess visiting it for the first time, almost 15 years later, right? It still holds, it feels like a wholly new experience still, even though I'm sure games have curbed some things from this game as well. I have no reason to give it anything lower than a 10 out of 10. It's wow. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. By the way, I want to shout out again Kim Swift, who we mentioned up top, but was the you know, development lead on this game, and, you know, has worked on a bunch of games, but this is really like, you know, really just like such an amazing achievement, and it came so early in her career. Like, she was like in her mid 20s when she was project lead on this, on one of the best games ever made. So Really a staggering achievement, and the whole everyone who worked on this game, fucking what a fucking feather in your cap.
My new favorite Swift, after Taylor.
Oh, wow! I was gonna say I will never achieve anything as great as Portal in my life.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I try, I will die having not achieved Portal. But I guess we'll just instead go with your what did you say, Matt? You said
I even said it wrong, actually.
Great.
So it just wasn't. Let's not. We don't have to.
Yeah, Matt. You should just shake it off.
Hey, team. Those were our thoughts, but you know what? Maybe we're wrong.
Maybe we were wrong.
We've got reviews from all over the internet here. And if we had a positive take on a game, these will be negative reviews. And if we had a negative take on a game, these will be positive reviews. It's maybe we were wrong. I have a... So, first off, I should say that there are 94,628 positive reviews of Portal on the Steam store and only 1,500 negative reviews. And a significant portion of the negative reviews are asking the reader, what the fuck are you doing looking at negative reviews of this game? They don't exist. Like, that's the first negative review is, why the fuck are you looking at bad reviews? Buy the game. It's the best. Another version of that is that if you search Reddit for negative reviews of Portal, you get something with zero upvotes that says Portal sucks, nobody likes puzzles, and it has three comments. I kind of believe you're the only person on the internet who thinks Portal sucks. Explains why the Zelda series is so hated too. And a minimum of 6,862 people disagree. I don't know what that's a reference to, but maybe it must be some number of people
metric,
who have upvoted that Portal is great. So it's hard to find negative reviews of Portal, but I think Nick Weiger, Matt Apodaca, maybe you guys found some sourpusses on the internet.
I'll first say that a lot of the negative reviews are echoing what Matt said, is that this game is, even, you know, first person games sometimes make me motion sick too. And this game in particular can be, you know, an issue if you are prone to motion sickness, because, you know, falling at a high speed while your field of vision, you know, rotates 180 degrees can be extremely disorienting. And so there is some of that. But I did find a few people on Metacritic who actually hate this game. This one is from Nicholas C. This is a 0. This game is a waste and does not deserve a 10. I give this game a 0 and it deserves a 0. Originally, I was excited to play. I brought a cup of tea with me. And the level's puzzles, if you call them that, were ridiculously easy. So easy. I want to use the word scam. But people are not only dumb enough to pay money for this game, but they also give it good reviews, so I look at the game as a money-making portal. A portal over the internet, where Steam takes your money and portals it into their bank account. Bravo. 0 of 18 users found this helpful.
I pulled the same review, and you got the good parts of it, but I also want to point out, this guy mentioned that he made a cup of tea. He loves tea, this guy. He mentioned that he had a cup of tea and that he made a second cup of tea, too. I'm like, dude, get over it. Put your tea down, you dork.
There's the tea.
And that's the tea.
I have a negative review from the Steam store, which says, and the name of the person who gave the review is Portal Woman, 2.4 hours on record. It was an okay build-up, and it's a nice tutorial-like game for Portal 2, since most of the mechanics from that game came back. But I didn't like it since it was missing the fact it was long. The testing facility felt like the purgatory room between life and death. It was immensely boring, just simple puzzles needed to be done. But everything beside it was okay. Not great, not bad. Don't recommend buying the game as a standalone and not buying Portal 2 afterwards, since most missions were in the facility, not out. I give this game 4.5 out of 10, but it's also a game that came out in 2007, which could have made it harder to make or something.
I love when someone's critique of something is like the point of something. There's like, it just sort of feels like this weird purgatory you're trapped in. It's like, yeah, that's what the game is doing. Like, that's that's great. Anyone have anything else?
I have one. I mean, similar to that, this guy on Metacritic, he gave it a 4. Michael Urban, very overrated. First of all, this game is unbelievably short. I kept waiting for all the training missions to end so I could play the game. But the training levels were the game. Like, yeah, you fucking no shit.
That's the whole thing. And then you have this gauntlet at the end where you escape and you use everything that you've learned. And that's super satisfying.
Yeah.
Ah, well, whatever. Hey, that was Maybe We're Wrong. And I got a segment this week. I thought this would be fun. That's right. I've got a gaming related quiz, and Heather and Matt will compete to top the leaderboard. It's another edition of You Don't Know Jack Off. So here's the premise of this one. In 2019, IGN published their list of the 100 best games of all time. The Portal series occupies two slots in the top 20. Portal is number 17. Portal 2, which they like more, is number 4.
Ding.
So, yes, Heather?
Number 4.
Okay, that's not the quiz. I'll get to it. I'm getting a little bit of setup. So, Portal 2 is also the only non-Nintendo game in the top 6. Numbers 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 are all Nintendo first-party games.
Wow.
So, the challenge is, can you name the 5 Nintendo first-party games in the top 6 of IGN's 100 best games of all time that accompany Portal 2?
How does this work? Are we just going to start shouting games and whoever gets them... Or do we have to name
start guessing.
5?
Yeah, no, just guess them one at a time. You'll take turns guessing one at a time.
I need to know what the win conditions are, so I know what I'm aiming at.
We're just going to try to get them all.
Can you give us something that we have to guess first to determine who goes first and who goes second?
He can't.
Okay.
There's another Valve game in the top 20. Whoever can guess that game first.
Half-Life 2.
I You said at the same time. I mean, this is...
It's half.
All right. How about this? How about let's just go back and forth. Let's go back.
Yeah,
and
just go back and forth. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So I'll go first, and then you go. And then if you get one wrong, there's no win.
We're just trying to get the top six.
Win this
this
game.
Is just fun. This is just a collab. I shouldn't have set it up where it was a competition. It's not a competition. We're just going to try to see if you guys can guess the top.
I'm going
to
win,
the
but it's
top
not a competition.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Super Mario 64.
Wow.
Super Mario 64 is not in the top six. It's number 10.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say, and this is like,
published in 2019.
They put Portal 2 above Super Mario 64.
I haven't played Portal 2, as I said earlier, so I don't want to argue that. Maybe I'll agree after I play it, which I plan to do. But it's yes, and they have Portal 2 higher.
I'm gonna say there's maybe some recency bias at play here, and because of that, I'm going to submit The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
Matt, you are correct. The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild is number 5 overall. By the way, I had this wrong. Portal 2 is actually ranked number 3, not number 4.
Wow.
Jesus
so
Christ.
It's number 3. And then there are Nintendo first party games at 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Matt, you just got the number 5. So well done.
Hey,
Super Mario 3.
Heather, you are correct. That's number 6. Super Mario Brothers 3. The
so
second.
That's below Portal 2.
That I mean, in the IGN's ranking in 2019, yes, Super Mario Brothers 3, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild are 6 and 5, Nintendo game at 4, Portal 3 at 3, and then two more Nintendo games.
Lists
in the top
like
two.
This are just designed to make readers angry so that they engage with the site. That's
yeah.
it. Just as a heads up, if you are reading a list, I was trailing off there. On purpose. Edit out everything I've said in this episode.
No,
maybe just cut me from the episode.
You're carrying us. You're doing great.
I think that this list came out in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else happened a little after that? This freaking pandemic.
You're blaming the pandemic on the list?
I'm just saying, we don't know.
Mm. You know what else happened?
Hmm.
Biden won.
Oh my god.
And Space Jam 2 is part of it as well.
Yeah, that's also part of it.
Okay, so you guessed Mario 3.
So far Super Mario 64, Super Mario Brothers 3, and The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild have all been guessed. They are all on this list, although Super Mario 64 is at the 10 spot, not in the top 6.
I'm just going to guess it. Super Mario Odyssey.
Mario Odyssey not in the top 20.
Okay.
I'm in the top 20. This list is insane. This is a crazy list.
You see some of the other items on the list. You're like, I see.
First party Nintendo games.
Yes.
Best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them has to be Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time, not in the top 20.
What the fucking shit is this list?
Apoplectic.
Let me steer you just a little bit. We've touched on the NES. We've touched on the Switch. We've touched on the Nintendo 64. There are some pieces of Nintendo hardware that have not yet been.
Oh my god! It's gonna be fucking
Mario 64 DS. Just kidding.
Wii Sports. It's gonna be like Wii Sports or some shit like. Oh, look, Wii Sports, one of the best games of all time. Because, like, everybody could play it.
No Wii games in the top 20, interestingly.
Okay, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
You are correct.
Wow.
Link to the Past, number 2. Just ahead of Portal 2.
This is...
The Super Nintendo Zelda entry.
I'm
fucking great
sweating
game.
Sweating with
terrific
anger.
Game. I would put Breath of the Wild over Link to the Past.
Who wouldn't?
But Link to the Past is really fucking good.
Well, make your own list.
Well, maybe I will. I'll save a spot for Portal 2.
How many do we have left?
You have 2 left. You've got number 6, number 5, number 2. I thought the segment was going to be fun, and everyone's just angry.
I'm so angry.
I was so excited to do this.
I'm so angry.
It's a good segment. We're just mad.
All right, ready?
It's not anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not Nintendo. I can't say it. They own the IP, but it's not Nintendo because it was developed by Game Freak. So you can't say Pokemon because right. Pokemon's not a Nintendo game.
Yes, and there actually is not a Pokemon in the top 20.
Wow, Apodaca just threw his mic on the ground and broke and jumped out his window.
I'm going to John Wick every single one of these games.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night was, you know, in the third W this week, referenced that in the third W. It's number 12 on this list. So how about that?
All right, here we go. I got another
that
one.
Seems right.
Apodaca, you got one?
No.
Mario Kart.
Oh, shit.
Mario Kart, not in the top 20. Not in the top six.
That's everyone's favorite game. Everyone loves Mario. Every single person on Earth loves Mario Kart.
I get that, but at a certain point, you have to start bumping other games to make room for them. Like, it's like Mario Kart is great, but I look at this list and I'm like, I don't think I would bump any of these for Mario Kart.
So
I know I have the benefit of having the full list in front of me.
Here's the
Yoshi's Island, not here. You're missing a couple of big ones on the Super Nintendo. I'll give you that hint.
Here's what's funny about this list is I cannot place the mind of the writer. Like, I can't be like, oh, okay, so casual games. That's it. No,
because
Portal 2 and Super Mario 3 and Link to the Past are like all crouched together in the center of what we're aiming at. But also Mario 64, not in the top. Like, it's not in the top five. And that game is classically considered one of the greatest games of all time, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Nick, so, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is this list written by Arthur Fleck, a.k.a. the Joker?
Super Mario World.
You are correct. Number one on this list.
Okay, wow. World number one over three.
Number one with a bullet bill.
This guy's about to go on Murray.
What? So the top three are Super Mario World, Link to the Past, and Portal 2?
That is correct. And there is one Super Nintendo game, Nintendo first party game for the Super Nintendo, still remaining in the top
six. This person was born in 1992 and played Super Nintendo with their dad, and then their dad died. So that's what's happening here. It's like this list represents, it's such an insane list.
Is it Donkey Kong Country?
Not Donkey Kong Country.
That's rare. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be.
You're right.
It can't.
Yeah, even if it was.
This is an insane list.
I don't have as much of a quarrel with this list. It is a little Nintendo top heavy, but these are great games.
But in the top five games of all time, no matter what metric you use, Street Fighter has to be in that. It is a creator of games.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not put Street Fighter in the top five. Nick fucking Weiger. Nick Weiger, don't.
I think Nick wrote it.
This list has Street Fighter 2 at number 15. So, you know, the Street Fighter franchise is represented. By the way, there are a couple Pokemon games on here. I looked at the full list. Pokemon Go is 100 and Pokemon Yellow is at 35. All right.
Okay.
One more Super Nintendo first party game that fills out the top
Pilot
six.
Pilot Wings.
Not Pilot Wings. Missing a big franchise.
F-Zero. Fucking, I don't know. Star Fox.
Not Star Fox. Not F-Zero.
Dr. Mario.
Is it Super Metroid?
It is Super Metroid. You are correct. Number four.
Wow.
You guys got him.
Wow.
This is a window.
All I'll say about that is wow.
A puzzling mind. This is a window in. So there's just no. I mean this with love, mm-hmm. and I mean this with an open heart. There is no way six out of the top 10 best games of all time are all on Super Nintendo. It's not.
Well, it's only three. Like, it was Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, and Super Metroid are three of the top four. And then Breath of the Wild is Switch.
And Mario, and then Breath of the Wild. Yeah. And what was the other one?
And Mario 3 is on NES.
No, so, okay, sure. The window of time that this list represents is such a short window of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it ignores huge... I'm so angry about this list. Like, I don't think Zork is one of the best games of all time, but if it was in the top five, I'd be like, justifiable. Like, sure. Okay, sure, that tracks. Maybe it is because of what it created. Pong is definitely one of the greatest games of all time because it's fucking Pong. Like, mm-hmm. You can't... Don't... Huh, Nick,
Pong sucks.
Pong sucks.
You know, fuck both of you. That's not true.
It's fine.
Does air hockey suck?
More fun.
Does
no.
air hockey suck?
No, because I'd probably have a slice of pizza or a brew dog or something.
God,
I think I'd rake like basketball and wrestling, a bunch of other sports over air hockey. So
sure,
boxing.
Yes.
If you gave me the choice between
tennis,
Pong, and like reading a book, I'd probably pick up the book.
Pong is tennis, guys. It's not. You can't. It's.
I'm sorry this upset everybody. I came up with a segment over the weekend. I was like, oh, this will be fun. We haven't done like just like a straight up guessing game. And I thought that was interesting. This was so loaded with Nintendo games.
I think here's the thing.
I thought they were kind of fun to guess.
You're right. It is interesting and maybe should be studied by science, you know? Get the brightest minds on the case of what's going on here, because wow. But
I don't like Super Smash Brothers. I don't like any of the Smash series. But if the most recent Smash with the 10,000 characters was on that list, that would make more sense to me. Because I'd be like, yeah, it represents the best of whatever that genre is of like party fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
These don't represent the best of any of the things.
Oh, come on.
They don't.
Being a fuddy-duddy.
It's making me want to play Super Metroid, which I've not played before. But knowing that it's this highly ranked, I kind of want to get involved.
Metroid is tremendous. It's so fucking good. I'd take Chrono Trigger over it on the Super Nintendo, but not much else.
Wow.
It's so fucking good. I don't know. These are good games. I'm sorry. I'm like, what? We'll move on. Rest of the top 10, Tetris number 7, Half-Life 2 number 8, Red Dead Redemption number 9,
Tetris,
and then closing out with Super Mario 64.
Tetris is...
Tetris, I mean, I there's a case for Tetris as number 1. I think that's just like it's such a...
The only case.
Perfect design. Yeah.
Yeah, every time you play Tetris, it's good.
My stomach is full of acid. I am activated. I want to go out and fight somebody. This list made me furious.
We won't do this again. It's time for the question block.
Ba-ding!
All right. This one is from Dan Skizak on Twitter, and they write, you can set up two ends of a portal anywhere in the world. Where are they going? Fun question.
That is a fun question.
I know Weiger's answer.
Okay. All right. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod. Send us an email at getplayedpod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 616-2PLAY. That's 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering by the great Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs.
I'm crying.
Matt, what are we up to next week on the pod?
Next week, we're going to be talking games and shit. See you then. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Edge. Christ.
Ha 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 ha!